This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 520. I am Brian Kilby. It seems just like 100 episodes ago we were trying to explain to Don what 420 meant.
Boy, yes. It feels like just yesterday.
It does feel like just yesterday. With me this week, I have Diecast. Diecast, how's it going?
I remember that. That means we've been around for at least 100 episodes.
We've been around for 520 episodes.
Meaning Matt and I.
You've been around closer to 200 episodes.
Yeah, I joined somewhere in the 300s. So, and you were here before I was.
So I'm actually going through and updating, building out a new website, which will be up here in June 5th. So many J's, June 5th. And I'm just finding all of these things like, oh, this is when Diecast first started. Oh, this is when Matt first started. Oh, this was when Ender was on the show. Oh, this was when Lady Wreck was on each week. It is just interesting to see who all has been on. I think this is the most consistent cast we've ever had. And basically, and somebody who has been here since nearly the beginning in 1999 is Chris. How's it going?
Hi.
And Don, how are you doing?
Consistency is victory.
Consistency is victory. We also have Matt.
Victory is life.
Yes, victory is life.
He didn't say what we were consistent at. It could be being horrible for all we know.
No, that's who's
high.
Matt, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. Going pretty good.
Rob.
Hi.
And John DeLuna.
Yo.
Hey, John, who was on first, you or Chris? I know Turin was on before either of you.
I think John was on before me.
I think you were on like around episode 3, something like that.
I think the ATT buzz was a thing before I started submitting content. Either way, I'm going to concede this to John.
I've honestly thought about going back and numbering every episode, like from 1 on. But God,
instead of sleeping.
there you go. That's apt.
Hey, Paul, got any plans this weekend?
Nah, that would be pretty easy to do. I've already got it all in there. I would just literally have to go in. I could probably go into the SQL database and do it sequentially, but I'm not going to. Actually, speaking of the website, we'll have video. We're going to have our audio. I said I was going to start with a limited archive. I think I'm going to start with everything or doggone close to it. Including all our shows, which you can,
awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That'll be fun. That's going to take forever, but I'm excited.
It probably will be January, like he said.
I've been working on it. I've been working on this now since 2015, so I think it'll go.
He's been working on the podcast
all the live long. But that's not the only way you can get a hold of us. We're also on Apple Podcasts if you are an iOS user. If you are a Roku user, add our Roku channel. Just do it through the Roku channel store. We're under special interest, so add us in the bikini channel while you're at it. We're basically the same thing.
I'm so glad we're not the bikini channel.
Then we would never get watched, would we?
I
don't know about that, Don.
I need to start a new show. It'd be like Radio Free Cybertron Extreme Beach Volleyball.
That sounds like a Sega game.
Nobody wants to see me in a Tecmo. Speedo, Brian, okay?
Don, I think
I'll
a great
second
idea.
That, Don.
I'm seeing like an anime or cartoon of Don playing volleyball, and it scares me deeply. Hey, let's see here. What else we got going on? So, anybody get anything this week?
I got a big empty box of sadness.
That's pretty good.
Because I have something that USPS was supposed to drop off today. It said the expected delivery date is today, yet the package is nowhere to be found.
Wait, they said they delivered it, but it's not there.
No, they did not say they delivered it. The expected delivery date was today.
Yeah, that happens.
Did it get marked out for delivery?
No, it did not get marked out for delivery.
Did it get marked at your local post office?
No.
Well, then you had no reason to actually expect it today.
It could be lost.
Usually it gets marked in the morning and is out for delivery that day.
Yeah, me too.
That never happened. Yeah. I don't know, but that was supposed to be FT10 Should just say Fans Toys Phoenix, which is the Masterpiece Skyfire.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
Oh, the production one finally, huh?
Yeah, so I'm very sad that that didn't show up.
Well, at least you've
you still have Kronos.
Yeah.
You still have Kronos.
Well, I don't know where he is. He got packed in one of those boxes that you don't care about when you move and you don't find it till like 10 years later. That's going to be Kronos. But I also got in the mail, thanks to Radio Free Cybertron last week, the Cybertron 85 box set.
Oh, nice. I forgot about that.
Nice. Yeah. And I was kind of reluctantly purchasing it last week. I'm like, oh, I really don't want to do this, but it's 40, what was it, like $48? I'm really glad I did
it. It's worth that. I got it in hand.
It's really nice.
Yeah, I think it's great. I love it.
What, $150 Creon? That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So Rob got something this week I'm interested in hearing about.
Yeah, I ordered some parts from Not-F Productions.
Oh, cool.
I got the guns for Brainstorm and Chrome Dome, and they are really nice. They're not, the plastic colors are a decent match, but they're not quite as saturated as the color on the actual toy. You've probably had toy pieces like that where it's just not quite as, you know, vivid as some of the Titans Return colors have been. And that's the case. If the teal on the guns were a little more saturated, it would be about a perfect match on Brainstorm. That's hard to do.
Yeah. Wow.
But of course, the difference between Non-F and something like Shapeways is they actually do their own injection molding. So it all feels right. It feels durable. It's a good, just in terms of, you know, feeling, it's a good match for the toy. I'm happier with Brainstorm's guns overall. They look really great, and they fit both in his hands and on the back of vehicle mode just about perfectly. Brainstorm, on the other hand, I meant Chrome Dome before. Apologies.
Yeah, what's the matter with the Headmasters?
Yes. But, yeah. Chrome Dome's the one that I like. The guns fit on the back of the car. Brainstorm, the guns, they're good. They're fine, but they're designed so that they can kind of peg into either the wings on the back or the guns on the front in vehicle mode. And that's, of course, not intended by the original toy design, so it's based entirely on friction and tension on painted parts. So it doesn't quite work on mine. So you can still plug them easily into the 5mm sockets on the side of the vehicle, but it kind of messes up the lines of the vehicle mode, in my opinion, just a little bit. The other piece I got for Brainstorm is he also has the briefcase, which is actually a really nice match for Alex Milne's artwork of this briefcase, which I was not expecting that much detail on that.
That's impressive.
And I made a minor mistake. He was nice enough as to glue it together for me before he sent it, because the site says they're kits. I thought it opened and it doesn't, so I had to re-glue it. But but it feels, the handle for it, because it's, you know, proportionate to a fairly small figure, it may not actually be fragile, but as thin as it is, it just looks like it should be. So I'm being very careful with it. But it actually swivels out of the way so you can get it into the figure's hand.
Nice.
Yes. So,
and you answered my other question on this too, which is, when you open the briefcase, does time start running out of order?
Probably. But, and all of this cost me like $18 ship. These pieces were like $3 each.
That's so great.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm really happy with it. I'm going to be ordering from them again, I think. They've got some upgrades coming up for Titans Return Galvatron, and I'm curious to see what they do with that.
Yeah.
New helmet.
Maybe a whole new head.
Quite possibly. The picture on his Twitter did show it without a head or, in fact, arms when he was getting ready to apply upgrades. So I don't know what's going to be going on there, but I want to see.
Interesting.
Cool. Anybody else get anything?
Yeah, I got some stuff.
What's the big one?
The most important by far is... Oh, no, wait, not that one. not Road Burn either.
Way to go.
I got Black Shadow.
Nice.
Oh. And he is awesome.
Nice.
I'm fighting so hard to not let myself buy a Black Shadow.
I think you should buy a Black Shadow. Price. I think you should.
I will not at full price. If I see them at Ross or something for like $28, then yes. But
he's very nice. It's
I will gladly buy this again as Overlord.
Yeah, like for a leader for a leader class toy, I would like it to be a little more complex. But I get why it's not.
I mean, the upper body with the jet is very simple. Yes, but I actually really like the way the legs transform into the tank. I think it's pretty clever.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I'm just sort of torn on making myself wait because, as I said earlier when he came out, I want to see what Takara does to make their Overlord more Master Force-ish.
I mean, I understand that, too.
Yeah, and given some of what Takara's done lately, I'd definitely be wanting to wait to see what they do.
That's a great idea. Get Black Shadow from Hasbro now and wait for Overlord for Takara.
Or I can buy Hasbro's Overlord as soon as it's available to me, and then 6 months later also buy Takara's Overlord,
what I plan to do.
Yeah, me too.
Well, it's better than double dipping on Computrons like I did.
I have both Computrons.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little tired of double dipping. I'll go into that a little bit later. I mean,
I'm very, very particular about what I double dip on. Like, I'm totally double dipping on Legends Brawn because it's a fun little toy and I wanted it now, but I also want what I view as superior.
God, how can you afford colors? That double dipping on Legends figures?
I know, right?
Anybody else?
But I'm also double dipping on Leader Overlord eventually, so there you go.
Anybody else going once, going twice? Our buddy Phil was able to get me that Chrome Dome with the Legend's head finally.
Oh, cool.
Thank you, Phil.
Yeah, I still wouldn't mind one. I have never seen one in person.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to at this point.
Yeah. Probably dried up.
Yeah. And for a full rundown of actually what we all got this week, I got quite a bit more. Check out There Goes My Money number 18, which will be up a couple days after this episode of Radio Free Cybertron.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff this week.
Sweet. Awesome. Let's see here. Let's go ahead and jump to This Week in History. In 2000, the Car Robots OP.
The opening single.
So what is that what the OP stand? I didn't know what that stood for. Yeah. The OP single, Hono No Overdrive, and single, Marionette, are released in Japan by Interchannel.
And I have them on the Japanese compilation CD, two of my favorites. Marionette is very haunting, and Overdrive is just a really, I'm blanking on the name. It's the gentleman that passed away recently.
Koji Wada.
Thank you. Who also did all the
Digimon opening songs up until Savers.
Right, yeah. And Burning Overdrive is one of my favorite themes in general.
They're both really good songs, and actually, as much as I like Marionette for years and years, I just recently, within the last 2 or 3 years, finally listened to the side B from that single, which is Midnight Cinderella, which is by the same singer, but is a much more upbeat, it's a higher energy song, and I really like that, too.
So which compilation disc is that? That's not obviously not on the 1984 to 1990 set. So which set is that?
It starts with 2010 and goes all the way up through Energy Super Link.
I had no idea this existed.
Yeah, it's a two CD set.
Two records.
Brian's about vinyl a while ago. Vinyl. Yeah. It's a two CD set, one with an Autobot insignia, with the Zepticon insignia, and it starts with 2010, and then goes all the way up through Super Link. It doesn't have Galaxy Force, and it doesn't have anything past that.
That's a shame, because Micron Legend had good opening songs. Both of them I like a lot. Galaxy Force's openings were really cool too. Super Lynx was just kind of there, and that's a real bummer note to end the compilation on.
Yeah, it's Energon, so I'm not really surprised. But yeah, but it's got all the Beast Wars ones, which unfortunately I don't recognize most of them because World I haven't Wars, seen
stop it. Yeah.
That's the main one that I listen to whenever I get to the Beast themes is that one.
Yeah. Too bad it doesn't have Rombi di Tuono no Uccelli di Quoto per I Bio Combat. Something like that.
That's
the
Italian
song.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's such a good song.
It is a great song. God, I love that song. It's so uplifting. Don, at some point, snap a picture of that for me because I don't necessarily recognize it.
Okay, I'll try to find it if I can.
Because I'd like to pick that up. I've got a rep of the 84 to 90 set, which is I use all the time on the podcast. So yeah, I'd love to see that. Also, we have in 2009 the series finale, Transformers Animated in Game Part 2 premieres in the U.S. Was
a sad, sad day.
Bye-bye, Prowl.
But at least... spoilers!
It's 8 years ago.
Bye-bye, last Transformers Animated series that I actually liked.
Yeah. I need to give Robots in Disguise a fair shake. I gave Prime a fair shake.
But yeah, it's the definitely animated for all its aesthetic differences was a solid show from start to finish. It really was.
Second best Transformers series ever. Matt would disagree.
No, I wouldn't. Look, I just disagree with your number one.
So, okay, that's not the response I was expecting.
Yeah. So, In-Game Part 2, I was on my RPG podcast that I do. I bring up all the time that I don't necessarily have a great memory when it comes to facts and things like that, but I remember how things make me feel. And my recollection of In-Game Part 2 is just how moving it was. Like, the finale to me had a... I think I was more touched by it than... basically the ending of anything else.
My problem with Endgame Part 2 is just how obviously truncated it was. That's... like, they were trying to do like 3 episodes worth of content to wrap up all at once, and there just was not room for any of it to really fill out and have the impact they really were intending.
Didn't Beast Wars basically end with like an edited in handshake or something? Because it was rushed too.
They cut out a scene from Nemesis Part 2 and like, it just kind of came down to a line of dialogue. Yep, everything's fixed.
Yeah.
Let's go home.
Yeah. Sadness.
And then, that was right after Rhinox hit Megatron with a car, which I have to reference here in honor of Rob Springer.
Yes. Okay. Let's jump to my new favorite segment, which is Bad Poets Corner.
Is this the one you previewed to us last week?
No, that one's coming up soon. I wrote this one. I wrote this one this evening. Because I started it this morning. I finished it this evening. It's called Sun Surge. When the news hit, it was hard to take. On the one hand, the price was steep. But on the other, at least it wasn't fake. The choice was easy on which to keep. You can't return to where you got him. Don't panic, you can still get through. As his resale value falls to the bottom, I think I have a pretty good idea for you. You don't need to sell. You don't need to bill. You don't even need Donanomics classes. Just donate your Sun Surge to Goodwill. And in 2018, write him off on your taxes. Sun Surge. There you go. So, Bad Poets Corner. So, let's go ahead and jump to the big item. So, this week, the news of HasCon hit. We've been waiting for information, and we got some information, not all information.
Yeah. I'm going to say this, Brian, real quick before you get started. It felt like we got hit by a Zamboni.
Yes.
We knew it was coming. It was slow information. And when we thought we had plenty of time, it finally got here, and we still don't know what hit us.
Okay, so did you ever play Blast Corps on the Nintendo 64? So it's basically HasCon announcement was the slow-moving nuclear trailer, and it just, you know, caught up to us because we didn't finish the mission in time, and now we're dead.
Well, let's get to what they actually announced, because to me, I don't think they announced enough.
Yeah, so basically, let me mention the ticket prices first. Because I think this is what everybody is upset about. Then there's all
that that should be the part that always comes last, though, because you should be like, it has this, 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 and well, here's the price.
But they didn't give you that. So
exactly.
Basically, I will read the press release because that's as good as I can do here. This unique event will bring Hasbro's most iconic brands to life like never before, including Transformers, My Little Pony, Nerf, Magic the Gathering, Play-Doh, Monopoly, and G.I. Joe. They're not counting Sorry or all these other awesome Parker Brothers products. And exceptional partner brands such as Beyblade, DreamWorks Trolls, and Sesame Street. Fans will get a peek behind the Hasbro curtain during the 3 days filled with exciting first look previews and panels from Hasbro's biggest television and movie series. So basically, they're selling an experience. Chewbacca Mom will be there. That's something.
So, yeah.
That sure is something.
In addition, there'll be activities inspired by several iconic Disney properties, including Disney Princess, Frozen, Elena of Avalor, Moana and Descendants 2, as well as Star Wars and Marvel's Avengers, Spider-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy. For movie props and costumes on display to hands-on fun through art tutorials and more, these areas will be can't-miss destinations during the show. So basically, they will have panels, but they don't tell you what they are. They will have guests, and they've mentioned Stan Lee, which is a big surprise to me.
It's going to be a shame when he dies next week.
That's terrible.
Please don't say that.
I love
please
Stan Lee.
Don't say that.
I love Stan Lee. Peter Cullen and Frank Welker.
Frank Welker.
Which Frank Welker is a big deal because getting Frank Welker to anything is not the easiest. Gosh, there was a couple other folks too that were mentioned. They mentioned that they will have souvenirs. But Rob, didn't you say something to they imply that the souvenirs are going to be leftover stuff from SDCC?
That was an interesting thing. I'm not quite sure where exactly it was announced. I think it was part of the lineup for JoeCon, where they mentioned that they're going to have somebody there who's going to talk about the SDCC/HasCon G.I. Joe exclusive. So, you know, that may be the situation just for G.I. Joe, or it may be the situation for everything. It's too early to say for sure yet.
Yeah.
If I had to bet, I'd say that they're going to be shared exclusives.
And I didn't even see anything about the souvenirs on the website. All I saw was something about the goodie bag with the VIP package.
It was in the press release, something about souvenirs. Let's go ahead and mention the tickets because this is what everybody's pissed off about. HasCon tickets are on sale now. Single day tickets are available for $30 for youth age 3 to 15 and $60 for adults age 16 plus. Crazy. 3 day tickets range from $75 for youth to $165 for adults. VIP packages are also available for super fans and the most enthusiastic collectors, starting at $200 for youth and $600 for adults, plus Rhode Island state taxes.
Which is what, 5%?
I don't know. So people are upset over this, but actually, let's return to that in a second. Another thing people are upset about, on the website, it talks about there's a link for exhibitors and the table options. So there's a cheap package for artists. Alley. Yeah, for artists. And then the prices basically go up from there. I'll actually pull the rate here so I don't get it wrong. A basic 10x10 booth, which is pretty big, $1,000. A deluxe booth, 20x10, $2,500. And a premium booth for $5,000. So basically, based on this and a couple other things that I've read and seen, it seems to me, it's just flat out obvious to me that Hasbro doesn't want to have retailers. When I say retailers, how about this? Dealers there.
Yes.
Because basically the dealers selling Takara toys, which aren't Hasbro toys, or used toys, or old toys, which don't meet the current Transformers brand standards. You know, that seems to me, that feels like that would be out of the way in this location, in this theme. And also, more than that, they would be competition for Hasbro Toy Shop, which I'm assuming will be there to service the fans. So the long and the short of this to me is this isn't a replacement for BotCon, and it's not intended to be.
I knew we weren't getting this as a replacement for BotCon, but I expected it to be better tiered than what it is, because it seems like they've taken all of the worst possible things from BotCon through the years and put it all in one convenient package to ignore.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but I'm going to look at it from another point of view. Yeah, yes, it's not from not totally for us. We knew it wasn't going to be totally for us.
Yes.
They still have panels, even though we don't know exactly what it's going to be. We're assuming there's going to be some reveals there, so that's kind of for us. But the price is the thing that makes me scratch my head, not as a collector, but as a person going, if someone has two kids and wants to take their kids for the day,
as long as they're two or under, $60
for the kids and another $60 just for one adult, yes. let alone what if both parents want to go?
Yeah.
That's almost $200 to go to this experience. I mean, how is that beneficial to the brand?
And I'm gonna say this. This is supposed to be a family experience. I couldn't remember the word. They're pushing that as this experience, and they're wanting this to be a success. How many people do they actually expect to draw to this event at those prices with who they're targeting?
So
the Venn diagram on this is three circles that never touch.
So my thought around this, and it's not that I'm basing this off of anything other than just what it looks like to me. They're not indexing this against like a BotCon or a TFCon. It's like they're trying to index this against a Disney World.
Comic-Con.
Or Comic-Con. Like an event that's an event and not a place where people come together to convene. It's a place where people come together to experience things. And the price on those things are outrageous.
But what am I experiencing?
So you can get
Chewbacca mom.
You get to play with. So they'll have like how many? Which BotCon?
Can I punch her in the face?
Which BotCon?
That might be an experience.
I'm sure she's
as long as she's wearing the mask, she'll be fine.
What the hell?
So Diecast, you weren't at BotCon 2010, I think it was, but at 2010 they had this big booth set up where you could run through, and there was a game you could shoot stuff. That may have been at another BotCon as well. I don't remember, but I'm expecting stuff like that. I'm expecting, you know, you'll get a chance according to materials I've seen, whether it was in this or not, you get a chance to play with new toys. You get a chance to handle stuff.
That's in the VIP package.
Yeah. There you go.
From what I read, the $600 VIP package.
Yeah. I'm not saying this is a good idea.
There is stuff there to experience. Like one of the things listed in the materials right now is a Nerf battle arena.
That sounds like fun.
Sound like fun.
Not $600
fun. I'm not a Nerf person. Like Nerf stuff is cool to look at from a distance to me. But even I think if I was at a place that had a Nerf battle arena, hell yes, I would go and sign up and spend, you know, 15, 20 minutes in there, whatever. Running around shooting stuff. That sounds great.
Now, Brian, I don't know.
Did you pay $60 to do it?
No. What, Matt?
No. I don't know that the Nerf Battle Arena is tied to the VIP pass.
Okay.
But like playing with the new toys is, as far as the Nerf Battle Arena goes, I don't know if that's a general admission thing or not.
So a couple things that bother me about this are some of the policies. The first and foremost that comes to mind is the autograph signing policy. You can't bring personal items. You can't bring stuff that you already own. You have to basically show a proof of purchase from that day at HasCon, such as a HasCon receipt. That it says it may be required. It doesn't explicitly say that, but it says artists and talent will only sign event merchandise purchased on the day of the event. That's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because everyone who has Transformers merchandise that wants it signed is usually bringing something to the convention.
Like anybody who wants a Stan Lee autograph.
Yes. Yeah. Just one thing to keep in mind, this is not me being an apologist. This is the first time they've done this. They're going to make so many mistakes that if there is a second one, and who knows if there will be a second one, if there's a second one, they will certainly learn from that.
Well,
I hope.
Hopefully.
Yeah, well, Brian.
The one mistake I think they're making is the timeline, because we are about 3 months away from when the doors open on the first day of HasCon, and they only have a bare framework of what we can expect to see
about
there.
5 months, right?
September, right?
Yeah, that's
the beginning of September.
Yeah, June, July.
This
August.
Is the end of May.
Yeah.
Like I said, we're about 3 months. It's, yeah. They have a countdown ticker on the site. It's like 109, 108 days now.
106, I think.
Okay, okay, 3 months.
Well, it's been a couple days.
Yeah.
Okay, point is, though, this is the point in time where ideally I would think they should be trying to pull in the last holdouts from their potential audience. Entice them in. Whereas right now we don't even have enough information to get a first round of people really excited about this.
Guys, it's fixed. It's fixed. I just checked their website right here and it says guests and schedule. I just clicked that. Oh, check back for updates.
Oh, good.
Scroll down.
It's got the names, but it doesn't have like this convention schedule. Check main show hours, the hours.
But another thing with the timeline, is they've scheduled this family event directly after kids go back to school.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm also curious to see if the schedule changes, because everything we've seen so far in terms of pricing and scheduling and all of that is really focused on Dungeons and Dragons and Magic the Gathering.
I suspect
that's because that's the only thing they've been able to lock in solidly right now.
Yeah,
you know, they're probably trying to still work out the scheduling and availability for people to run other panels and events.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And I kind of ran
The one thing I did see, sorry, Don, the one thing I did see, which is very important to Transformers fans, well, I think is very important to Transformers fans, is the Hall of Fame dinner is part of the VIP package. So
I didn't even notice that.
Yes.
It's one of the things they mention in, like, if you click that plus sign by the VIP package, it's one of the things in the list of evening activities you can choose from. Like, they got a bunch of stuff listed there, so it seems like what it's going to be is they will present you this probably, you know, form or checkbox thing or whatever, and you decide what evening event, which day you want to go to out of the 8 or 10 that are available.
Yeah. Not excited about it. Very likely not going. Almost certainly not going. Hopefully. Yeah.
Absolutely not going as a VIP.
Hopefully this is a rebuilding year. And a building year, because it's the first year. And we figure out what they figure out. I'm not even upset that it's not for me. I'm upset that it just doesn't seem to be for anyone.
Okay. Yeah.
It's almost for Hasbro. Yeah. They're trying to make something to show we're making something to replace what you already have. But we really don't care.
No, I don't think they are. They're trying to make something to show we can be our own force of personality in terms of a media presence, a media presentation, an experience for a lot of people to come to. We can be our own Comic-Con. We don't have to go to San Diego and New York to get the same benefit. They're still going to, until they're satisfied with HasCon's performance, which means they'll be going to San Diego and New York forever.
Yeah.
The other problem I have with this is like the underlying problem, is that they're putting it in their own backyard for their convenience. Rhode Island is not a great like travel destination. You know, there's not like a one-stop flight to get in there. It's a long drive to get up there from places where you can fly into, if you don't want to do a bunch of connecting flights. And from what I've heard from like the BotCon 2007 experience, there's not a ton of stuff around in the area either.
Nope.
I mean, here's my problem with it, is that I want it to do well.
Yeah, me too.
And this,
yeah, me too. Absolutely.
This has, I could be wrong, but the way they're setting it up so far, and especially with the prices we've seen, it's setting it up for failure, because it's going to push away the families. It's going to push away the
families.
The families and the collectors. It's going to push everyone away, and it's going to be empty, and they're going to have this whole arena, and they're going to be like, where is everyone? Yeah. Oh, I guess we can't do this next year.
Two arenas.
They're doing it in two adjacent convention centers. It's not even one facility. It's two separate facilities.
Fail big. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah. It's just the fact that I ran into a problem with this. I was at a book signing several months ago, and the book I brought, they said you cannot bring an outside book. You have to buy one there. the book I brought to be signed wasn't even carried by Barnes & Nobles, except online. They carried no physical copies in the store because it was an online-only item. I had a printout of the receipt. That still wasn't good enough. So if I brought the book, bought at Barnes & Noble, and I can't get it signed, and I go to the show, and I buy something from Hasbro Toy Shop, and they choose, like, well, you didn't buy it from Hasbro. You know, I'm just saying, and it's just so many things. It's like, well, we gave you what you wanted. Why aren't you here? And it's like, who are you? Like y'all said, who are you doing this for? It's not for the fans of BotCon, which, like Diecast said, we know this is not for us. The families are priced out of it. You can't get dealers in. So
the families are priced and scheduled out of it. That's an important thing to remember.
I'll play devil's advocate with the signing because I thought about it. Thank you, Don, when you mentioned about the book. And let me know if I'm wrong. But if Barnes & Noble hires the author to come in to sign copies, that's how they're recouping the money, is by having people buy the book for the author to sign because they put out the money for the author.
Yeah.
So if they're not going to charge for autographs, if I'm going to be able to walk up to Peter Cullen, and I would say that would make a little bit more sense about the price of the admission, and it would make a little bit more sense about having to buy, because I can easily go over to, Hasbro Toy Shop and buy a Voyager Optimus Prime and for $30 and take it up to Peter Cullen and have him sign it. That, to me, I would do that. That would be worth the $30 I paid for the figure if I could go over and have him autograph it for free. I'm not saying that's the way it's going to be. I'm just saying that would make sense.
But you've got families that if they can't afford to come, either monetarily or with the time invested, and you've got little Bobby here who has his favorite Transformer and he can't have it signed, and the parents have to go buy a toy so the kids can have it, a keepsake that, hey, this was signed by the man Optimus Prime himself, and he has to go buy another toy.
So I want to just point this out here for one sec. So the price on this, $600 is a lot of money. And they're trying to target that to the super collector. But in the grand scheme of things, if you're looking at a vacation, you're going to spend a lot of money, way more than that. Most people are. So I almost want to, I want to mostly get over the fact that the cost is there and it's so expensive. Again, my problem is they're not telling you what you're getting for it. I'm fine with the cost as long as there's some sort of justification for it. But
a lot of
people
are not okay with the cost. A lot of people complained about the cost of BotCon for years,
but you know what?
Which was $200 cheaper, and we knew what toys we were getting ahead of time, and it was a lot.
That's true, but they don't care because there's finite space to fit in there.
Why the people paying for these tickets do care.
They're selling it to the people who can pay for it, not the people who can't. Go ahead, Don.
Well, they're selling this to the super collector, but I'm a super collector. I'm at least a tier or two below that anyway.
You're a super collector.
So I don't buy enough Hasbro stuff to see all their properties. Yeah, I watch ponies. I don't buy into ponies except for Doctor Who's.
Oh, did we get that on recording? That's going to be great.
Yes, of course we did.
That's the cold opening.
I like the show. The show's well done, okay?
It's a good show.
But there, as a collector, I have seen nothing that makes me want to go pay for this at all.
Yeah.
And I'm the guy that's been to almost every BotCon but one. And you have shown me nothing as a super collector with a VIP package that makes me even want to remotely consider this.
And I want to dispute Kilby's assertion that there is a clear delineation between people who can afford it and people who can't.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
There's plenty of people who... Well,
I'm saying I'm not saying they don't care that there are certain people who can't afford it. It's just like Maserati doesn't care if there are people who can't afford a Maserati.
They're targeting the people who can afford it, not the people who can't. At the same time, though, there's plenty of people who are perfectly able to afford this, but have not been presented with reason enough yet to want to afford it.
And that's my point.
So there is a midpoint in this, which I just felt that your wording did not represent.
What I said was, or what I was wanting to get to, was the fact that, again, it doesn't bother me that the price is so high. It bothers me the price is so high without anything to show for it. So there's, I mean, if they could justify, it's like a cruise. God, this is so close to the cost of a cruise. Well, a really cheap cruise. But my wife and I, we were pricing cruises. Realistically, this would be comparable when you factor in everything, depending on how many kids you have. But again, that's what they're competing against. They're not competing against BotCon. They're not competing against TFCon. They're not competing against Pizza Robot Convention. They're competing against Destination
Hotel. No one's
hotel
competing against Pizza Robot Convention.
It's kind of unfortunate that they decided to put con in the name then, because they think that's going to make people think that they're competing against a certain class of thing, and it doesn't seem like they are. Or so not
they are,
well.
Though. I would agree with the that. The con they were competing against is Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very certain that they are trying to do this as an alternative to Comic-Con.
Yeah, that is a very different experience than a Comic-Con.
Limited experience in comparison.
Yeah, that's something I've been wanting to get to. I'm sorry. Hasbro is grossly overestimating the level of what a cultural force they are with
yes.
this. Disney did not have its own conventions until, within the last 20 years, I think? Star Wars was the most ridiculously popular thing in the world, basically, in terms of pop culture for 30 years or so before it had that, before Celebration started. Transformers is great. I like Transformers. Transformers was relatively small and obscure until it had four hit movies, maybe five if they're lucky this summer. They're not at that level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're just not.
There's one thing I wanted to bring up, if I could, Brian.
This will be the last point. Go ahead.
Okay. Also, I saw on the payment options, you can only use one credit card.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Well, no, the reason I'm bringing that up is because some people have, different credit cards, different husband and wife, whatever the case is. If they could use different cards, they could spread the cost out over a period of time. If you could use PayPal.
That's what credit is.
I know, but I'm just saying, with electronic money like PayPal being very widespread now in use, being able to take more than just one credit card, or like if they took PayPal, they might have money in the account, they could pay some in cash and the rest on credit. I'm just saying, limiting yourselves to just a credit card transaction and only one credit card, they're cutting out the ways people could try to go and afford this. And it just seems like they're not.
I think
even with the perceived limitation on how they can process credit payments, we should still look at this and just be glad that they're not insisting that we pay by fax.
You stole my joke. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to
that's my job.
Rest of the
news. And they're not charging us a processing fee, so
that we know that. Of yet.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, official news this week, MP39 Masterpiece Sunstreaker revealed. God, this caused a stir on the interwebs, but I think he looks pretty freaking great.
I love it.
I have pre-ordered this thing already.
Looks good.
So there's a interview with the designer, and in that, what did he say?
He said that they want to do all the 84 Autobot cars, or all the 84 cars, as well as Minibots, is their aspiration.
The 84 and 85 cast.
They talked about also doing Minibots.
That's all the cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the entire 84 and 85 cars, cast.
They may have said all the realistic cars, which kind of leaves out Super Deformed.
No, they said the entire 84 and 85 cast is what they want to do. That's not a guarantee.
Right. I mean, they've already done Bumblebee. He's a penny racer car, so...
Yeah, I mean, any of those, they're just going to reimagine as being realistically proportioned cars. Although, the Penny Racer Super Deformed thing could be a handy loophole if they cannot get a licensor to play ball.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Stuff jumper.
Yep.
But yeah, so there's some neat detailing on this. One, his doors open. His doors open.
The doors and the trunk.
And the trunk.
And the headlights. The headlights pop.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, headlights. Yeah,
it's pretty impressive. Now, I mentioned this caused a stir on the internet. A lot of people I mentioned the poem Sun Surge. A lot of people were started selling their Sun Surges almost immediately. And it just became almost a joke. And other people, you know, rightfully pointed out that, you know, this was going to be a problem for this toy. And in general, like, this is probably the third or fourth time that I've bought a third-party Masterpiece style figure and the official toys come out, which I'm always going to give preference to. So at this point, I can pretty conclusively say I am 100% done with third-party Masterpiece. It's just,
and I could see that quote about doing all the cards and mini-bots in the interview as being like, you know, an underhand, under the table, you know, a sidelong challenge to the third parties. We're going to do this. Don't buy the unofficial stuff.
And the price on Sunstreaker is $120. That's what we're being charged domestically. That's a lot. That's a heck of a lot. So,
but we also don't know the Japanese retail yet.
Yeah,
as far as I'm aware.
So that's a huge departure from the $80 or so that the like Sideswipe went for. So I mean, that's a hard pill to swallow. But if I am guaranteed that like I'm going to buy the official Masterpiece toy when it's released, I'm just going to do it. So I'm going to again stop buying third party Masterpiece. Unless it's some ridiculous, like if somebody did an Alligator Con Optimus Prime and it was Masterpiece, I might get that. So so I guess I'm going to divest myself of all my third-party Masterpiece toys. So I actually thought about doing a video like Diecast was going to do with Kronos and just like burn them all to see how many hits I could get. But I would also probably get death threats with that. So
yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
No one cares about that. But.
Yeah, nobody's on Kronos' side.
So that doesn't mean I'm not going to get some third-party stuff because, again, there are things that come out that are cool that, you know, Spartan, like Culture. I don't know if Culture exactly is a Masterpiece-style toy.
It's not. It's not intended to be.
Yeah, so things like that, you know, I'll probably still continue to buy, but I just, for my own sanity, I can't do the third-party Masterpiece stuff anymore.
One reason, like, if there is a Japanese retail price bump to Sunstreaker versus something like Sideswipe, the engineering on this is obviously a lot more complicated. They designed this where it can be configured either as a real Lamborghini or the cartoon supercar. There is also, like, the opening trunk. The speculation is that that's part of preventing there from being like seam lines down the main body of the car, which is probably something Lamborghini would have insisted on for the licensing.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of elements to this that could lead to it having to cost more. Lamborghini may have charged them more for the license this time. We don't really know. And we're not going to know for sure until the Japanese pre-orders go up and we can see what the actual SRP on it is. But this does look like it has a ton to offer just in the design and engineering over some of the other Autobot cars.
And I read in the article where Lamborghini actually had a hand in the design of this toy. So that's probably where some of the price goes to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I it amazed me because this is one figure I did not expect to get. But I'm so glad they did it because this is really the first Transformer figure. So I can't wait to have this in my collection.
In the chat, and Mock Tackle said it would be cool if any of this pushed to third-party makers to move away from G1 Masterpieces.
Yes.
That's a good point.
Especially Springers. No more Springers. Ever.
You know, well, I think they should just start focusing on Bruticuses.
Okay. There are, if you're not happy with the $120 price that we've seen so far for Sunstreaker, you can pick up a Sun Surge on eBay right now. There's plenty of them, and I'm looking, and they're going about $50 or $60 right now.
So my friend Chris...
It's the sunset for Sun Surge.
So my friend Chris, who lives here locally, messaged me on Facebook. Saying he was trying to get rid of a lot of his stuff in his collection. He just didn't have room for it, et cetera, et cetera. He told me what it was, and I said, you should just donate it and write it off on your taxes. I'm thinking about doing that with a lot of my stuff. And it would be a lot easier just to do that than it would be to try to sell a lot of that crap.
Piece.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have to worry about people. I wouldn't have to worry about scammers and things like that. So
I don't know. This news just makes me happy. Because once again, my patience has paid off. Like I didn't buy any of the third party Masterpiece Megatrons, the Ironhides, the Infernos, and now Sunstreaker. And you know, the officials just keep coming. You just have to be patient.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't regret buying third-party figures. There are there is a figure here, too, that I regret buying. But in general, I don't regret buying them. You shouldn't buy them thinking that, oh, you know, Takara or Hasbro are never going to do an official. You should buy it because you like it and you want it at that time.
I don't disagree with that.
I bought Sun Surge.
Yeah, me too.
I don't regret that.
I do.
It's a nice figure. It's
So there's a risk you're willing to take. I totally get what you're saying. A risk. That risk has hit so many times at this point that I am no longer willing to take that risk because it's getting close to a certainty.
Exactly. That's not what not everyone is willing to take that risk, though. So you don't have to spend all this money on third party because chances are good now, especially with 84 and 85, that eventually, if you just wait, there will be an official.
Pretty sweet.
I mean, I understand Diecast's perspective on this, where it's not so much of a, I want to wait this out and get, you know, version X over version Y necessarily. It's just, you know, this looks like a cool toy. I'm going to go ahead and buy this.
Exactly.
If something comes up later where I decide I want to replace it, well, that just happens. And that could happen with another third party, not even, you know, another official toy. It just, you know, you never know.
Fair enough.
The same thing happens with Generations Collecting, too, at this point.
Like, I'm buying that, obviously, that Fans Toys Phoenix. If Hasbro and Takara ever do a masterpiece Skyfire, I'll buy that too. I'm not going to regret buying Phoenix, which I'll have in my hand tomorrow as long as the post office delivers it. But you know, and then you know, in two, three years, if I get an official, I'll be happy with that.
Don's dear friend Blade Raider in the chat said that he loves the fact that MP Chip Chase comes with a Sunstreaker.
Sun Surge came with a Chip Chase too, didn't it?
Yeah. But you know,
you can't help but notice the jabs at third party companies with this toy.
Yeah.
But you know, one thing though is that it's a lot about the character, and it's also a lot about the money because you know I'm a cheap ass bastard. I am, but
no.
Yeah, big shock. But you know, I have Sun Surge, and I think he looks great.
He does.
In my masterpiece collection, and I just don't see right now spending the $120 for the official one when I have a very good representation in my collection. Now, that's not to say I might not pick it up later on, because I wasn't planning on getting Ironhide and Ratchet until Matt showed off how good he actually looks in person versus all those terrible photos that we had. But
now I will make you buy the Sunstreaker too, Don.
But also, I swear it right now.
I said
this pre-show. I have Downbeat. Other than
which is jazz.
Which is jazz.
Not masterpiece jazz.
Yeah, other than a little bit of, you know, down here on the feet where the wheel wells transform, I can't see Takara making a better looking jazz.
I can.
I don't care if they can. Well,
give them time.
But for the money that they're charging now, this is a perfect jazz for my collection because it's a great representation of the character. So you know there is that
okay,
too.
Let's move on. I do want to just respond to Don's point before we do. So the main difference is, buying third party doesn't perpetuate the brand. If a masterpiece toy comes out and I like it, I'm going to buy it because that actually sustains Transformers. We're buying, you know, FT-911, you know, Del Toro, Mi Amigo, Razor or something, whatever the hell the name would end up being, does nothing except for keep splintering a bubble that's going to burst anyway. So
I'm trying to figure out what character that code name is.
I don't know. So Transformers merchandise featuring what is this? I didn't see this. So
Transformers merchandise feature coming to Walmart in June. This is something that I learned firsthand. I talked to the toy department manager at Walmart a week or so ago, and I didn't like push for any information. This is stuff she volunteered to me. As I was trying to find a Tiny Turbo Changers Blackout, she was like, you know, if you're looking for some new Transformers, check back in June because they are sending us an Action Alley feature. Action Alley is the big main aisle before, out in front of the side aisles. There's something in Action Alley feature that we're going to be setting out in June. The Hasbro rep that visits the stores came in and gave her the heads up about it. So, you know, we've been noticing that Walmart's been a little bit slow to stock some of the other lines. The movie stock has been a little bit slow, too. This might be the actual push forward to get, like, the most current stuff out there. She told me that they'll probably be coming in, like, be delivered in early in June, but she doesn't know exactly when the set-out date is.
Well, now, there's a lot of history to that, because I do have some experience with Walmart through the years collecting and stuff. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I do a lot of shopping there.
Yeah. And
I used to. I don't so much anymore.
But a lot of the times, when they have these features come in, that's when you see the stuff not coming in on the side on the peg hooks themselves. And so, and I've seen this in more than one case, you know, in which the stuff isn't restocked for several months, then all of a sudden you have a huge display. So I have seen this happen before, and it makes a lot of sense to explain why they're not just showing, the stuff isn't showing up.
And, you know, this is coming in June. The set out date is uncertain, but, you know, my common sense suspicion on this would be it's going to go out the week the movie premieres.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we have.
But hopefully that will be, you know, seeing like wave two of the movie stuff, maybe wave like the rest of wave four and maybe some wave five hitting brick and mortar retail for generations. You know, hopefully this will be a big influx of new product that we've been waiting for.
So I was almost going to say something about this next item, then I had to stop myself. Then I had to stop myself to say, no, yeah, you're right. So we God Bomber looks awesome.
Yeah.
From the front.
But has anyone ever been able to say that God Bomber looks great?
Not until the show.
We have new photos of LG-42 God Bomber. Mine, I'm waiting fulfillment on the one that I ordered. It's already been charged.
I got my 10-day warning today.
Nice.
I did too.
He looks great, so I can't wait to get my hands on this.
I can't wait to get whatever Hasbro box set that ends up being in.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess it will be Firepower.
Yeah.
Because God Bomber may be many things, but intelligent it is not.
Yeah. So this will be really, really impressive.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting it and actually putting together the God Generator I did not actually know I was buying the first half of in December.
And the best part, no chrome.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it was just the bare silver chrome like it would be on God Bomber, that probably would not be a huge problem. It's when you put, you know, the transparent paint over it to tint it. That's when you get, like, immediate problems with it. Because Generations Jetfire's chrome, the chrome itself held on to the toy for the most part. It was the clear red paint chipping off of it at the least provocation.
So on my God Bomber, the chrome all chipped off years ago because of basically off most of the toys that I had displayed because of remember how in my old office I had the cat litter box in there?
Mm-hmm.
And the room became very dusty. And depending on the kind of litter we used at the time, yeah, it actually ended up damaging the multiple toys. Sucked. It sucked bad, but you know.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'll live with it.
I'm surprised how big God Bomber is. I did not expect him to be that big.
Yeah, we had seen side by sides with Super Genrai in the magazine scans a few months ago, basically showing that it was the same height. It's less mass, less complexity. That's why the price point's a little bit lower.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that I guess he has to just. He's a parts former, I'm assuming?
Parts former to become God Jinrai. As far as we can tell, it can probably cleanly transform between its independent modes.
That's interesting. Nice.
What's really interesting, though, which is something I pointed out way back when, it uses the Combiner Wars socket connection to connect the legs to the body so that you can remove them easily to do the combinations, which means I'm going to do so many stupid interchange tricks with God Bomber and the Combiner.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
That'll be fun. Okay. Oh my God. There's so much movie stuff this week.
Yeah. We had a more movie week than other stuff week, but I think a lot of this we can blow through kind of quick.
People care about it, surprisingly.
Right, but we're already an hour into the show.
Oh, yeah.
And we haven't got to the Amazon plugs yet.
Oh, yes.
TFRadio.net/Amazon.
So one thing you can't get at TFRadio.net/Amazon is Build-A-Bear stuff. And there's going to be a Transformers, Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, and Bumblebee Bears and costumes and accoutrements and stuff. Yeah. At
They are introducing elements so that you can make an Optimus Prime or Bumblebee Bear at Build-A-Bear Workshop. They did the same thing for Power Rangers when the movie came out.
Yeah. We just got Noah just made a Build-A-Bear Sonic, and it was really awesome. I am tempted by that Bumblebee. I'll be honest with you.
They look horrible, but that's okay because they're not for me.
Yeah. There you go.
And that's okay.
That is okay. I am 4 years old, so I'm half tempted by this.
Well, most of us are 4 years old inside. That's, you know.
Yeah. I just don't understand the point of now finally doing an Optimus Prime. Mommy, why is Optimus Prime coming to kill me?
Yeah.
he says he wants my face.
So, speaking
I want there to be like a study and see how many children had nightmares about Optimus Prime starting from like Revenge of the Fallen.
That'd be interesting.
Of course, Revenge of the Fallen can give you nightmares for other reasons.
Yep. So, speaking of just a face, that's what the Transformers Bumblebee movie, that's all we get, is his head looking blankly.
Well, yeah, so we get like an early poster kind of thing. What's important about this is that we get the, I guess, tentative title for the movie, which is Transformers Universe Bumblebee.
That sounds like a toy from 2004.
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah.
Except they didn't have the Bumblebee trademark available then.
That's true. Bumble Blast. Or, no,
well, it sounds like they're setting up Transformers Universe Bumblebee, and the next movie is going to be Transformers Universe Hot Rod.
Wee wee. Okay. So that's something. So we have a leak on Hot Rod. Actually, Bumblebee is one of the leak. This was a package leak. But it's only like a partial on the toy.
Yeah, so what this is, I toy detected this.
You're not
Rob.
You can
go and read the whole article at tformers.com, but the short version is, do you remember that Lorem Ipsum package asset sample we saw a while back? This is the front of that.
Ah, okay.
This is the corner of the presumed Hot Rod Bumblebee 2-pack, which, because it is a 2-pack, is probably the Toys R Us exclusive Mission to Cybertron branding, which is why it's red and not black like the main The Last Night toy line stuff is. So while Hot Rod may not be an exclusive to Toys R Us flat out, our first proof of it existing is.
Neat. Yeah, cool. Let's see here.
I think a toy detective is fun sometimes.
It is.
I was like, man, those are definitely Bumblebee feet, so that makes a lot more sense.
Well, they're not. That actually is the Hot Rod character art over the name tag. So, there is a similarity in design, though.
So I'm looking at the show notes, and obviously we just copy and paste directly from the site. It's funny how easy it is to do a typo on the word night. Because I caught where I made a typo back in February on Toy Fair. So, yeah. So, it's like, oh, people are liking this video called Last Light with a L-N-I-G-H-T. So we have.
Yeah, I tried to go in and fix any typos like that I catch, but I can't get them all.
It was fixed. You fixed on the site. It looks like it's fixed. We have the same thing. I just reclicked on that again. Voyager Dinobot.
We have the same thing.
It's the same link. Voyager Dinobot Scorn. This is a new mold, right? This isn't. We didn't get Scorn as a. We got him as a deluxe last time. I thought.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
To this, we got pictures from Amazon that are the stock images of the robot and dinosaur modes. Those are not in this article, unfortunately. I didn't think to update the show notes for that. Oops. But hopefully it's just bad stock photography because it doesn't actually look as good as the deluxe toy from 2014.
So the thing,
at least in dinosaur mode,
the thing that gets me about this, and I know hopefully it doesn't carry over, but I see that one, he has red plastic. And two, his crotch is split. So I see that and automatically think of Beast Wars Inferno and how terrible that pelvis is. And there's like, if there's 10,000 of those still in existed, there's only like probably 20 that actually lock correctly. So probably not a concern, but it's always a concern.
I hope if Scorn appears in the movie that he is red to match the toy and will be the only Dinobot with any color. That will not be the case, but it's what I hope for.
Yeah. Okay, let's see here.
He got pointier, though, didn't he?
So, sorry, what?
Oh, looking at the picture of the other pictures for the Voyager, and he got a lot pointier, didn't he?
Yeah, he now has three sets of spines instead of just the central one.
Yeah. So, and it looks like it's a finer set than the previous figure, too.
So from Empire Magazine, we have a last night article scan. Is there anything in this, Chris, that's new?
Well, it kind of opens with Michael Bay telling the story of how his hair got vaporized one day.
Nice.
that was not on a Transformers shoot, but from what I remember of the article, he was doing his Benghazi movie.
Ah.
And during one scene with a lot of pyro elements where he was like even wearing a fire suit and was, you know, in there when they were setting everything on fire, it got a little out of hand and the back of his hair got, as it quotes here, vaporized off his head. And then a little while later, he had to call in to address the writer's room when they first convened.
Interesting.
So that was an interesting story. Yeah, it's the article's worth a read. It's kind of entertaining. It's, you know, mostly the experience of watching Michael Bay work, which we've, you know, heard about a lot over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
But there's a little bit other interesting in there too. I think this is where we get the first hint that the Bumblebee movie might be set in the 1980s.
Oh, cool. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so up next we have Transformers Last Night, Dark Optimus Prime from Takara Tomy.
I think this looks really good with all the gray plastic matching.
This is that Voyager one they're doing at the premium with movie tickets, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry, after you.
I was going to say, just it's okay. It doesn't scream I have to have
I'm
it.
I'm never buying it, but it looks better. It looks better than I would have thought.
The exactly. Draw for this, I think, is just that they like up-decoed it significantly, so it looks like a more finished toy.
The second photo looks a lot better than the first. The angle on it, still not buying it, but yeah, the deco is really nice.
Well, like I said, though, just on the version we got, the mismatch of the grays and the silver and all just really kind of bugged me. And if I was going to get a version of this, it would be this one. But I'm
not. Yes, because this would cost you at least $100, probably, because you'd have to have it middlemanned.
Oh, precisely.
I miss having people.
Although you know, you might be able to find one on Taobao for cheaper.
That's true.
Yeah.
Does Taobao have an affiliate program?
They should. Diecast, you're like somebody's affiliate, right?
I'm a known seller.
That's awesome.
Or known buyer, I guess.
Okay. Let's see here. What else we got? Oh God, the Bluetooth speaker heads for Optimus Prime, Megatron, and Bumblebee. These are so
and Squeaks.
And Squeaks. They are so creepy. Squeaks is not creepy. Squeaks is adorable. But that Megatron is so damn creepy. I don't need any more Bluetooth speakers. I have my Echo.
Especially for $100 each.
They're $100.
For one the size of a human head.
Oh, is it the size of a human head?
That's
I assume they were, you know, smaller.
Yeah.
Well, it says human size Optimus Prime figure to Bluetooth speaker. So yeah, I'm pretty sure for $400 for the Optimus Prime one, at least, it's the size of a human head.
So $400 for Optimus?
Yeah, the other ones are. The other ones obviously have to be smaller, but yeah.
These have to.
Squeaks looks horrible. The only one I would actually get is Optimus Prime.
I'm not getting any of them.
I mean, the sculpt, the character likeness on them looks pretty good, which you'd expect for, you know, a higher ticket.
You know, that's
I would get Optimus Prime if he dropped down to 100, maybe.
I wouldn't. It's probably a crappy speaker.
That's half the price of a lamp.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love lamp,
and that looks. Yeah, I love lamp, and that lamp
they should
looks
put
great.
A Bluetooth speaker. They should put a Bluetooth speaker in the Unicron lamp.
They could.
Then you could just like run the Unicron planet mode theme through it all the time.
So it does not take standard.
And light. Then raise the price another $400.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Not, it does not take standard light bulbs, right? Because they make Bluetooth light bulbs that you can play that are also speakers.
Really?
Yes they yeah. do. Yeah.
Of course.
Hey, why not?
Of course they do. Why not?
And probably,
I'm sure that Unicron's full of LEDs.
And probably the best story of the week, though, is we have color-changing slushes from Sonic. And I was at Sonic yesterday or the day before, and I saw this on the menu, and I did not jump on it.
Only, so, Kilby, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
When you go to Sonic,
yes,
and you're sitting there waiting for your order, do you just like spontaneously start thinking of JD?
Yes.
Because I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. I sure do.
JD loved his Diet Dr. Pepper from Sonic before every show.
It's an Oklahoma thing. So, okay. So there are basically three flavors, cherry slush with blue raspberry. Gross. Cherry is great. The raspberry is gross. Orange slush with grape. That would be interesting. And clear slush with grape. I don't know what that clear slush is.
Yeah. What flavor ice. Is just clear? Ice. Exactly.
You know, it's sort of amazing that we've never had a Sonic themed Sonic drink. You know, like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonicception. There's probably a reason for that. It's probably because there's enmity between Sonic the character and Sonic the restaurant for, you know, name infringement.
However, you could order yourself an Optimus Prime and ask them to go heavy on the blue, and it would probably, you know, the color would probably work out about right.
Yeah. Hey, so Chris mentioned a minute ago we hadn't got to our Amazon plug yet, but here we are. Please use our Amazon links at tfradio.net/Amazon. I actually just saw that Brawn is available right now on Amazon for less than $10, shipped with free Prime shipping. He's an awesome toy, and that
he is
awesome. tfradio.net/Brawn.
And if you want to watch a review of that, go to T-Formers TV on YouTube, and I happen to have one with an awful, awful cold opening.
Yeah. So
I'm so not sorry for that.
That Dinobot set is still available for less than $80. When I say less than, it's like a nickel less than $80. But it's there. That's at tfradio.net/dino. Lyo Kaiser, still available, less than $100. And Sky
Someone
Shadow.
Please buy that. I just want that Lyo Kaiser to be off Amazon, so I'm not tempted.
You don't have it?
Well, no, Diecast, you have to buy it.
You don't have
you
that?
You gotta do the work yourself.
I mean, and we all were kind of worried with that being the technically the last known American gift set for a Kamen Rider Wars, that it was going to be real hard to get and just vanish real fast.
Well, no, I don't think we were worried because it was
Entertainment Earth exclusive.
Yeah, and $20 more expensive than all the other ones. But now neither of those things is an issue because there it is on Amazon for the same price either stuff started at.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And hey, Sky Shadow.
tfradio.net/Amazon. Seriously, please, if you buy anything from Amazon, just think of us and use the link. Go bookmark it, whatever. It's how we pay for everything. It really helps us out, and I mean that seriously. So, and for everyone out there who uses it, thank you very much. We appreciate, love you. Thank you very much. Okay, third-party news. Hey, Don, did you hear about this Fans Toys Rogue?
Rouge. Not actually.
Rouge. You before actually, G is oh, Rouge.
Yeah. Oh, I'm dyslexic.
Actually, no, not anything recent. I just knew it was a thing that existed, and it's interesting looking. Looks like it's not a headmaster.
No, it's not.
Yeah, so skip it.
Is she too human?
A little yes. bit. They're more conservative with the proportions of the torso than the Hasbro release. But the torso was always supposed to be angular. The arms and legs were supposed to be, you know, basically more curved, more cylinders. RC's body is supposed to be angular. Her chest is just a wedge. It's not a wedge with, you know, oddly suggestive curves in it. It's just a wedge.
I really want a more movie RC and movie Same. Being the original. Yeah, that's really what I want in a masterpiece scale. And I thought Fans Toys would be the one to do that. And
it looks like they changed the sculpt of the chest to make it less like what it looked like in the movie from the one picture that shows the two with an arrow pointing.
I want them to do promo pictures that aren't like creepy pinup poses.
Don't
hold your breath.
Being an RC fan, I really wish they would cut that on the cheesecake poses and just give decent. Because you're not going to see Springer in these kind of poses.
Is that so? Is the one with the arrow? Does that mean that they changed their sculpt, or does that mean that it comes with an optional correct chest? Because it comes with
an optional chest.
Okay, does
it? Okay, I didn't actually catch that in the
God an layout. Optional chest.
Well, yeah, no, this is actually a good thing in this case because you can have if you prefer the movie styling. you can have that represented, or if you want something that's more curved like the Generations toy for whatever perverse reason, you know, that option is also available to you.
You know what we talked about in the first episode of Radio Free Cybertron? Transmetal 2 Black Arachnia. I talked about Transmetal 2 Black Arachnia on the first episode. I was just listening to it because of the website. And there was, that was nearly 20 years ago. And that, I'm so over that.
I have a little bit more sympathy towards that just because that's from the original design. It looked like that. So just in my mind, there's a distinction there.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not you want to go into whether it should have looked like that, that's you know, an individual aesthetic choice. But I have to say that if it really does come with an optional chest that does not have any, you know, embellishment, let's say, I'm happy to hear that. I'm glad they did that.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know, I'll just add that, you know, I want to see actual real colors instead of just a digi bash. But I figured if anyone would do a headmaster, it would be one of the third parties by now. And
there's still a lot of third parties to go.
I know, but it's like Aaron Archer paid them off. Like, hey, this guy here, don't make this toy for him either.
You know, there's always the possibility too that Fans Toys could come out after the fact with an upgrade kit for this. Yeah,
that's possible.
Fans Toys, they will occasionally, they'll have like a replacement part that comes with another toy to fix or upgrade. I don't know that they have standalone kits that they normally do.
No, but they could if they want to like engineer a little, exosuit Daniel, and maybe some extra accessories.
Somebody else can easily do it.
Dr. Wu. But, you know, Don, probably whenever Mastermind gets around to doing an RC, you can probably like a G1 style, not the IDWE War for Cybertron. That was theirs, right? But if they ever do like a masterpiece, an Ocular Max RC, you can probably count on that having either a kit or a variation that would have the headmaster parts.
Just once again, wait and see for 30 years running.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's all right. I've been waiting this long.
Yeah, so exactly right. Don has been waiting this long. He can wait until he gets the RC he wants and deserves.
And then I'll die the day before it comes out.
That would suck. Bad Cube Brawny and Backland reissues. So just the fact that they are reissuing these, that's the news. Nothing new about them, right?
They're a little bit different of a color.
Yeah, they've modified the deco a little bit, but they're also supposed to come with their pre-order bonuses again.
What were they?
I don't remember.
Oh.
It was the Quintesson pack.
And I think Backland came with the Decepticon detector from Five Faces of Darkness.
Ah.
Hmm. Yes. I'm glad these are coming back out, because these were really expensive if you wanted to get them.
They were expensive. These also were the first full figures this company produced, if I remember correctly, and they had not gotten, like,
that was before
not everything Warthog? Was dialed. Yeah, no,
yeah,
not okay. Everything was dialed in correctly with these. So these are supposed to have like their modern production standards. So they should be better figures, and the engineering on these is simpler than their subsequent stuff.
Wait, was Warthog Fans Toys Hound?
Warthog was Warpath.
Okay, so that's what I was right. Okay, not getting them. MMC. Speaking of things I'm not getting, not that I don't want them, but I'm not getting them. Ocular Max Remix Series Vulture in Buzzard, not Laserbeak, not Buzzsaw. We have new photos. Again, I think they look great, but I'm not buying a 2-pack. I'm not going in with somebody to get one. I have problems with Jaguar. The same problems are not going to exist with this, I'm not going to subject myself to it, but they do look really nice.
Yeah, and this is also one of those things where like you can look at it and say, yeah, Takara is not going to do this specifically. Yeah. They're not going to make a masterpiece cassette the size of an actual audio cassette.
So going back to something I said a little while ago, because I worry that the comment came off as too sharp when I said that the bubble was going to burst. It's funny that Takara is not going to do something like this, but third-party companies are going to release seven Springers. I guess that's more or less where I was going.
Yeah.
Yeah, sustainability. Master MMC reformatted series, Arrow Alpha, an official IDW Wing figure.
Wing is from the Drift miniseries. It's okay if you have no idea who he is.
Yeah.
He looks awesome. He's got
cool design.
He does look cool. Really good.
Yeah.
This is the kind of third-party stuff that I like.
Is he like Drift's brother or something?
No, he was the character who Shane McCarthy created to die to motivate Drift's character.
Yeah, he brought Drift into the Crystal City fold.
So he's a prime cliff jumper, sort of.
In a sense, yes. In a sense. I don't think he would have been voiced by The Rock, but
that would have been awesome. I like the robot mode, but you know, I especially like the vehicle mode. It's super clean.
Yeah.
That looks great.
Well, Mastermind does good stuff.
They do. They do good stuff. So, yeah, I just want to go back. Like none of my issues are with any company in particular. It's just the framework that everything exists in. Sorry, like before the show, like during pre-show, before we were streaming, I was so riled up. And I've calmed way down, so.
Anyway, there should be a Drift figure in the same style following this. I think that's why this is Arrow Alpha. I believe Beta will be Drift.
Nice. Hey, Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Not much. Just my review of Optimus Prime number 7, which is out today. Priscilla Tramontano is filling in on art for Kazama this month, and it looks really good. It's a pretty good issue. I enjoyed it.
Cool. I think the start of a run of fill-in artists for a few issues. It's not like it's going to be a storyline thing. It's just going to be a few issues loosely connected. I think they are gearing up for the first Strike crossover coming later this year.
Ah,
cool.
So kind of like the Robots in Disguise holding pattern we went into there.
Yeah.
Yes, but with, you know, generally artists that we like seeing better.
I'm all for it then.
Cool. Don, what's on the network this week?
Oh, what's on the network is going to be when I get to the page.
Don was probably expecting the what's on T-Formers to take longer.
Yeah. What's on the network this week? Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek, The Paradise Syndrome.
Awesome.
This week, discussion about the teaser for Star Trek Discovery, XV's newly obtained Star Trek Voyager early production materials, and our episode is The Paradise Syndrome from the original series season 3. This is the one where Kirk becomes the god of a Native American tribe. Yeah.
Yeah, we've actually done all of the animated series, so, you know, that'd be reruns if we were going back to that.
Yeah, Take 4 Wrestling, episode number 32, an interview with Chris Payne. This week on Take 4 Wrestling, JT Hogg interviews pro wrestler Chris Payne, who was recently featured on the WWE TV. Chris shares his view on becoming a professional wrestler, wrestling with JT Hogg, and his experience in the WWE. Being Awesome, episode 104, Building an Excuse to Talk Universal. This week in Awesome, Rob talks the Building Bear TF5 promotion before using the TF Friday at Universal as basis for defending live-action Transformers designs. Q&A about quitting. Rob ain't a quitter. Get the Skinny return next week. Same skinny time, same skinny channel.
We recorded it. It'll be up Friday.
Yeah. RPG Lessons Learned, episode 3, The Prison Break. On RPG Lessons Learned, Dusty and Brian discuss their first Prison Break experience. How do we prepare for the game? What did we learn? All that and more on this episode.
I'm really happy response to that has really shot up after the third episode, so that's really great. Thank you guys for listening.
What did you end up in prison for anyway?
The game before we wiped. So basically we were defeated by the enemies that we were fighting, but based on the fact that we were able to get into their stronghold, take down like basically everybody up until the very end, they felt that we were very valuable prisoners to have, that we could be utilized for something.
So it wasn't like securities fraud or anything?
No, nothing like that. No SEC violations or anything like that.
I think it was insider trading on Transformer toys.
Possible.
Oh.
This week on How Was Your Weekend, episode 5, Don't Touch Me. It's like a messy episode. On this episode of How Was Your Weekend, Wendy and Brian finally get around to discussing a book that they both read recently, The Like Switch. What do certain social cues mean? How can you better connect with others? We learned that Brian doesn't always pick up on social cues. A big shock there. And Wendy doesn't like anybody touching her. Oh, and Brian is really proud of his handshake. All that and a zombie apocalypse on this week's episode.
So I'll say this. It's funny because Wendy is a well-adjusted human being. And in the episode, we talk about how she is easy to make friends, how people are very inclined to, you know, talk to her, share whatever, and how I'm more of an acquired taste. The book goes into a lot of like social cues and things that she thinks are obvious. And I'm like, I didn't know that. So I think, especially out there, for some our nerd brethren out there, it might be worth a listen. It's pretty great.
All right. And then there goes my money. Episode 17, which version of Bumblebee was this knocked off of again? There goes my money. We discussed two new third-party non-combaticon combiner limbs that seem they should belong to another third party. Plus, we talk about another in a series of weird upscaled and knocked-off Transformers, this time it's movie Bumblebee. And then we talk about all the awesome Transformers we got this week, and then we discuss the pre-orders.
Yeah. So, let's see here. I want to mention, talk about the zombie apocalypse on my... Happy Day podcast. Actually, it was a video. I did an interview from the North Wilkesboro, which again, Wilkes County, zombie apocalypse event. I interviewed the organizer, and it's one of my more popular videos thus far. I mean, the audience for that show is very, very low, relatively speaking. It's a very narrow audience. It's already had like 1,000 views or close to it. So, you know, considering how narrow the target is, I'm pretty happy with that. So you should check that out. I had a lot of fun with it. Diecast, did you have anything for RSC reviews?
Yeah, I had a Voyager Optimus Prime. And did I do anything else? I had Voyager Optimus Prime.
Well, you know, you can find out by going to RSC Reviews on YouTube.
Heck yeah. Yes. And let's see, you remember you can find this episode at tfradio.net/520 to view the show notes. We have links that we mention, all that stuff. You can download the show. You can subscribe on iTunes or wherever you subscribe, right there, tfradio.net/520. And don't forget our voicemail line. You can use it to also to send texts. That's 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. You can follow us on Twitter at TF Radio, on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio, and on Instagram at TF Podcast. I am personally on Twitter at B Kilby, and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. Diecast, how do people get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Diecast2, on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast, and which I'm doing every once in a while today on Taobao, which people seem to enjoy.
Yes.
And I pick a random weird thing that's Transformers related that I found on Taobao.
I love that.
And then you can also find my reviews on YouTube at RFC Reviews.
Sweet. Chris?
Chris RTXV on Twitter. I post stuff to T-Formers TV on YouTube and, of course, on T-Formers very routinely. You can find a lot of news I've written there, photo galleries, when I have the time to put them together,
yeah,
as separate from a review. You know.
Nice. Don?
I can reach on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EVR.
Matt?
On Twitter at Melvar with 3 L's and 2 R's.
Heck yeah. Rob?
I am on Twitter at Figure Reviewers and Flail Throughs. Just like XV, I post Transformers reviews on YouTube at T-Formers TV and write at T-Formers.com. And I'm also on YouTube at Flail Throughs, where I've begun a new game this week. It's Ooh. Called Dead Cells, and it is a side-scrolling Metroidvania-type game with elements of Dark Souls.
Interesting. Interesting.
And procedurally generated areas also.
Nice.
Really neat. I enjoy it.
John, what about you?
First, the term Metroidvania delights me because most people under the age of 16 have no idea what a good Metroid or Castlevania game is.
Well, that was coined by Jeremy Parrish, who is probably in his early 40s now. So,
oh yes,
mm-hmm. You can find me on Twitter, Twitch, MyFitnessPal, everything under that John D.
Sweet. Well, everybody out there, again, thank you for watching. Don't forget to watch us live or listen most of our audience still listens. So I don't want to just forsake our podcast audience because, you know, that's where I spend all the time and money producing for you guys. The video is just nice, easy byproduct. So tfradio.net/live, watch live each week. We start streaming around 8 o'clock pre-show until 8:30. Then, the show starts and, we love interacting with our chat rocks. We have people coming in. Sometimes we have old timers coming back, that we haven't seen in a while. It's a family and we love it. So, tfradio.net/live,
come be part of the community,
be part of the community. We will be back next week. Have a good one.
Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?